Hi, it's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church on our weekly podcast, Today's Word. We were looking at Joseph, the son of Jacob, and this week, third one in a series, we talk about Joseph from bad to worse. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh. And they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now? Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornate robe back to the father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. So in last week's sermon, we talked about being in the pits and about how all of us have been there at some time because we figured out that the car payment is due and we are flat broke, or because we love someone who is sick and now hospice is coming, or because we tried to finalize a deal at work and got ghosted. And when those losses add up, we can end up in a state of grief. And grief can be a huge pit. We can be heartbroken, and we begin the grief cycle of doubt and bargaining and anger and depression and never quite get to acceptance. Sure, there are small grief episodes and large ones, but there are also huge ones, times when grief near overwhelms us. Understand that, like everyone else, we bounce around between the stages of grief when we're in it, sometimes feeling like we're making progress, to only then have something set us back, and we begin the grieving all over again. Some of us, in fact, never really emerge from grief for a whole host of reasons. Sometimes the pain is too much to let go of our loved one. At the same time, the pain of grieving somehow strangely becomes a soothing balm, a safe place that, while not healthy, may make us feel safer than reconciling with the fact that they are gone. Yes, we have all been distressed, depressed, angry, confused, scared, and even hurt. We can relate to others who have been through it too. We have grieved. But to be clear, for Joseph, this pit of despair was a really big deal. Yes, he was grieving and angry and bargaining, and I would guess praying that God would save him. And then Joseph, at the bottom of a dried out cistern, hears his brothers negotiating his price. Talk about a dysfunctional family. Reuben, the oldest brother, tries to end their warring madness, their plot to kill their brother, and he succeeds, kind of. Judah also tries, but before they can rescue his younger brother and take him back to his father, Joseph is sold. And while it's hard to imagine this, God still got Joseph, you understand. Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but the circumstances, as dire as they are all part of the journey to a place God has in mind for Joseph. And it's true for us as well. Remember, though the journey may be grueling, God has got you. It turns out Joseph is to be a slave. Slavery is where you are no longer yourself, but a generic human available to the highest bidders. Useful not for your personality, your talents, your skills, your lineage, your faith, but just because you are there. No practical difference between you and one of the pack animals, a mule, a horse, or a camel in the Midianite caravan. And sadly, you are in some ways less valuable than any of them. So imagine this, you're at the bottom of the cistern while your horrible brothers negotiate your future, one in which you dreamed they would all bow down to you. Life couldn't get much worse unless, of course, the going rate for a slave in those days was 30 shekels of silver, and they sell you for 20. The Midianites, or Ishmaelites, that is, the sons of Jacob's grandfather Abraham's son Ishmael, knew something was shady. So being good businessmen, they asked for a better price that included keeping their mouths shut as to where Joseph came from. All while he lied at the bottom of the well, awash in grief, imagining that this can't be God's plan. God can't use my misery for anything. The reality is God does see, and God knows, and yes, God has still got you, even when things are at their bleakest. Jeremiah the prophet, you remember, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I know it's hard in the midst of crushing grief and fear to remember that God understands our grief. But Isaiah, the prophet, speaks of Jesus when he says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted." And Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Imagine that our experiences of grief are preparation for us to be able to care for others who are struggling. And while the pit where Joseph is at the moment is not the only pit he will be in on this journey, God is still at work, even in this, preparing Joseph for a story that Joseph could have never imagined as the shepherd boy beloved by his father. So for now, Joseph is out of the physical pit. Now he gets to walk to Egypt to be sold as a slave to an Egyptian military officer. None of it, I'm sure, makes any sense to Joseph because he can't see what God sees, and neither can we. Instead, we trudge on through the desert, remembering as best we can that God's got me. Amen. That brings us to the end of our podcast for this particular week. We thank you so much for joining us. If you have questions, you can contact us at otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com, Otisville with two L's, or at our website, otisvillepress.org. Thank you for being here.